to do this hour with Dr. Henry Nyman, Ph.D. There has been a great deal of activity over the weekend and today as well. It's nonstop. I want to call your attention again to headlines. There's a very interesting op-ed piece out of the South China Morning Post, which I have put up near the top. It's entitled, How Donald Trump's Gross Incompetence Breeds Coronavirus Denial in the U.S. Subtitle, When students on spring break rebel against social distancing measures, it may be because the U.S. administration does not inspire trust. And secondly, although Trump fancies himself a wartime president, he doesn't quite understand the enemy he's up against. So that and a whole lot of things are worthy of your time and reading. Dr. Anthony Fauci may be gone as a face on the daily briefings. He said what he shouldn't have said. He said he has to tell Trump things four times before they finally sink in. And guess who was not on the daily briefing dais today? Dr. Anthony Fauci. Welcome back, Henry. It's been crazy out there as we knew it would be. How are you?
Yeah, it has been crazy. Yesterday, they just locked down Pittsburgh today, so could be better.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to go outside unless it's for life-saving missions. So,
is that it? In other words, food? Food is life-saving, I assume, right? Or are they expecting you to eat the drapes?
No, I don't think you're supposed to do food anymore. I think they expect you to get it delivered. So, as of 8 o'clock tonight, you're not supposed to be on the streets. So,
is that curfew time or is that 24/7? We'd probably need, there'll be more clarification coming, but
two weeks.
What are you supposed to eat?
I think you're supposed to order in. You're supposed to order deliveries. I mean, all the grocery stores do free deliveries now. So you can order online and it comes to your door. And
weren't they doing that on the Corona Princess, sort of?
Yeah, but that was a lot more crowded than a lot of
I'm just having
there.
Fun. Yeah.
No, I
I'm
know,
not.
I know.
I'm not convinced
no,
that these
I,
lockdowns
I
are going to work.
I know people in New York that leave it out on the porch for a few hours before they'll take it inside.
That's the point. That's the point.
Yeah. And New York
unfortunately, they can live for 3 days and more on a non-hostile dry surface and probably a lot longer on a non-hostile wet environment, like some food preparation. I'm not convinced that these lockdowns are smart. I'm not sure that they're the way to go. I understand Italy. I understand what's going
on. You'll find out in about a week, won't you?
That's right.
You'll be able to see the difference, and unfortunately, I think you'll see the difference, and it'll be very dramatic. And the virus has to get around, and the more people that are within a few feet of each other, the easier it is. And
so, what's your call? You mentioned a week. What's your call for a week? What do you think? What do you think?
What's Trump going to do in a week? Is that what you're asking? Why'd I say a week?
You mentioned a week with the virus and all that and this lockdowns. And what do you think?
The week is based on Trump's news conference today.
And what
Trump's
did he
got say? Okay, it's real simple. He's got this card that they wave at each conference. Pence holds it up and it says, control the spread 15 days or something. I don't know exactly what it says. But the bottom line is they think that by controlling crowds and exposures,
right.
For 15 days, mm-hmm. that magically that's going to create a dramatic effect on the transmission of the virus.
They actually believe that.
Well, I don't know. They say it. I don't know what they believe because, you know, what they believe and what they say usually aren't the same. But that's what they say. And if they believe it, they're really dumb. And if they assume everybody else is really dumb. But either way, you're not going to get the virus under control in 15 days, even if it was, you know, very effectively controlled.
Right.
And it's not at all effectively controlled.
Ain't going to happen.
I mean, you've got whoever works in an essential service, like all the guys delivering the food and all the guys working in the restaurants.
Oh.
And then you've got the states where they're not paying any attention, or they've got their beaches open because of spring break. And it's so uneven. And
it's insane. It's negligent and mental. It's negligent mental. It's incompetence. It's gross mental incompetence.
Right.
This whole thing.
Right. He thinks as little and you can't see it. It's the invisible enemy, and he can just, you know, it's like his make-believe friend. It'll have whatever characteristics he wants to give it. And he thinks he can talk it down.
That's a good image.
He can take it away by just saying, we're going to win.
if he says we're going to win, the
virus will run away and all will be well. All you have to do is, or, you know, there's some miracles. He was praying today at the conference. And
what?
It's,
who was praying?
Trump. I can't even talk about it. Anyway, the conference, and I said that I told people this is going to be historic because he was going to come in. He's going to come out there and say that, 15 days is almost up, and as soon as the 15 days is up, he'll decide, you know, whether he's going to continue or just kind of go back to work. Everybody back to work, and if you're not that sick, you can go back to work. It's only if you're really coughing a lot, but if you're just a little bit sick, you know, you can wear a mask
for a couple days, and you can go to work, and it'll be fine. Never mind the 500,000 cases. Just move along, folks. No problem.
And so I said that this was going to be historic because regardless of what he says, I mean, he's going to read his notes and come up with some nondescript reasons why this is going to happen. And, it's a tremendous program and, you know, it's never been done before and whatever else he's going to say about it. But in the end, the reporters are going to go ahead and they're going to ask him some very pointed questions and he'll definitely go off the rails. And you know how he handled that?
No.
He kept the reporters out. The briefing room has
he emptied it out.
You know, people, you know, about 10% of the seats, maybe 20%. 20% mm-hmm. of the seats are full. Okay.
Well, they had one positive, so he kept them all out. That was his excuse, right?
No, it was just, you know, that was a, apparently that's about the tracing they use for tuberculosis. So, you know, basically, there's a limited density. And because of the limited density, I could tell that he made sure that certain reporters were not there. So he basically stacked the audience so that he had, so he wouldn't get too many tough questions. And then he went on for 2 hours. So half of the networks, you know, gave up on him because he's just rambling on and on and on for, I don't think it was 2 hours, but it was over an hour, you know, after the, you know, just the question part. And he got rid of the reporters that were going to give him a hard question. They weren't there. They didn't ask any questions because they weren't in the room. And that's what he's going to do. And Fauci wasn't there. And he only had about three people up on the, or maybe it was four. There were about four up there with him.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was Barr announcing that, you know, he's going to go after those that are hoarding products and, you know,
wait a
them
minute.
At,
what?
High price.
Give me a little. I mean, like hand sanitizers that, or is if
right,
you have
mask,
food storage at
mask.
Your.
If he said he said if you're doing toilet paper, they'll leave you alone. But if you're doing masks, they'll come knocking on your door. It's what William Barr had to say about.
Oh my God! Never mind. That's ass backwards. The issue is, why didn't Trump 2 months ago order the production of masks and PPEs? So now they're going to go after people who have their own supplies or people who allegedly have been trying to profit on them?
He went up, what? He said if he got a warehouse full. So, you know, I think you have to have quite a bit of it for them. They're not going to come to your house and see what's in the
Look, let me make a point. He did declare the Defense Production Act, he declared it active.
He didn't invoke it.
He will not invoke it. He will not order the production of these things. And he's trying to wrap himself in the robe of a brave wartime president. This is such BS. I can hardly believe it.
Right.
Oh, God.
The whole thing's unbelievable. So, in any event, you'll see how well this distancing works because he's going to basically send people back to work in a week. His 15 days are up, Friday or Monday. I think it's up Monday. And so on Monday, he'll make a decision. They said, well, are you going to, you know, go with what the CDC says? He says, well, I'll listen to the CDC, but I got other people I listen to, you know, and now I'll make a decision. And so he's already made the decision.
That's what he meant.
He's already made the decision, and he's going to, I mean, if you look at the numbers, before he makes the decision, as long as testing doesn't change radically this week, by Friday, the U.S. will be number one in the world for confirmed cases. We, as I said last week, that we would go past Spain, and we would go past Germany, and we'd go past France, and we'd go past Iran, and we've done all that. So we're third now. We're behind Italy and China. But if you go through the numbers, today we had almost 10,000 new cases. Now, just to put that in perspective, the whole SARS outbreak was like 7,700 cases. So we did 10,000 in one day. And Italy's doing almost 5,000 a day. So we're closing the gap with Italy, 5,000 cases a day. And we're like 18,000 behind. So we'll catch Italy by the end of the week. And then China's a little bit in front of Italy. They're at 81,000, but they're not adding any cases. They only added like 39 cases today. So we're gaining 10,000 on them each day. And we're like, 37,000 behind. So they'll only take 4 days. So we'll catch, that's assuming we don't go up. I mean, we will go up. It was 10,000 a day. We aren't going to do 10,000 a day. We're going to be getting closer to 15 or 20,000 a day by the end of the week. So we'll be number one in the world by Friday.
Well, we're going back to work a week from today.
Certainly by Monday, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So we will have more virus than anybody else in the world, and frankly, it won't take very long that we'll have more virus than the rest of the world combined. That'll happen in about 2 weeks. It'll be a week after each other. All right, we look good. Not a problem. We did our 15 days, and now we're good to go. We can do whatever we want. We got this virus under control. And you can go back to work and, you know, just put on the mask, and you'll be good. And that's our commander-in-chief, right. Yeah. And, you know, I said this, that you wanted to pick the worst person in the world to manage a pandemic. I know who to go to. He's already there. All you have to do is say, yes, sir, and follow his instructions, and you're there. So in any event, that was it was kind of historic, but it was missing the reporter, so it wasn't quite as historic as I thought today. But he certainly made clear what's going to happen on Monday, a week from today. He's going to say, looks good to me. And I don't know what the CDC is going to say, but next Monday they'll say, back to work, party's over, you know. We're going to get this economy rolling again. And by then, New York will be out of bed. And New York, I mean, New York is totally out of control. They added 5,000 cases today. Just one day, they added 5,000 in just New York. And you know, their testing is up, but it isn't up that much. They tested 16,000 and got 5,000 positives. So that's the type of frequency they're running into. So it's not like, you know, they're testing 200,000 and getting 5,000. They're testing 15,000 and getting 5,000. So 30% of the people they test are positive. And it's not going down. I mean, 5,000 is an all-time high. And the deaths are, you know, not far behind. Today, for the first day, the United States had over 100 deaths, 116 deaths in one day. And that's just a glimpse of what's to come. Because
I hate to ask, but do you have recovered figure of those who have been released and allegedly recovered to run the numbers on case fatality rate? I got a note from somebody that was, it's 82%.
Well, you can do it in your head. the number of deaths in the U.S. right now, according to this BNO tracker, is 576 deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And how many recovered?
I couldn't even. I what? 1,000?
35.
Oh no. Oh no. All right, let's go over those figures again. All of you around the world who are dealing with this as well. This is what we're facing here in the U.S. right now. These are the tracked numbers that we have right now. Give it to us again, Henry.
576 deaths, 35 recovered. Now, the recovered will go up. You know, they're in the hospital. They're not all going to die in the hospital.
No question.
I mean, they've got 44,867 cases. And, you know, if it's 15% of that, then they've got 6,000 people in the hospital. Some of those will get, you know, most of those will end up out of the hospital. So it's not like it's going to stay at 35. But the numbers have gone up so dramatically that most of the cases have only been identified in the last week or two. So that's why there's that's a low level of recovered. But that's what the ratio is right now. There's 576 deaths. And that's why we'll end up catching
yes.
these other countries yes. that,
right.
on the death side also, because we're adding 10,000 a day, and it's way too soon for a high percentage of those people to have died. It's going to take 2, 3, 4 weeks before they're going to die. And so the big numbers that we're having now, you're really not going to see for several weeks, but they are going to start filling up those beds, and
they won't have next week. That most hospitals by another week, no beds, no beds.
Yeah, and then the healthcare workers will start
getting sick,
and
that's right.
And then they'll start running out of their PPEs. And even though they're saying, oh, they're going to send 1 million masks.
That's nothing.
I think New York goes through something like 40,000 a day or something. It was
that's
some
right.
ridiculous number. You know, they're supposed to be, you know, worn once. You're not supposed to wash them. You're not supposed to get somebody with a sewing machine to give you cloth ones. And it's, so they'll have it for a short time, but a week from now they'll start having trouble, and they can't really easily get the states can't easily get them on their own, because they end up competing with each other, and the price keeps going up because they're bidding against each other, or they're bidding against the government, or they're bidding against another government, because it's not just the United States. Europe has got the same issues. And Europe, it all really began, if you recall, back on the anniversary of the Metropole Hotel. It was on February 21st. And it was real easy to see it starting then, because back then, there were very few cases in Europe, and there were very few cases in the Middle East. And all of a sudden, Iran had a bunch of cases, and Italy had a bunch of cases. And then shortly after that, or about the same time, they were just starting, these other countries in the Middle East and in Europe started reporting that they had cases. And they kept saying that they had, and if you looked at who these cases were, they were imports. And the ones mm-hmm. in the Middle East were imports from Iran, mm-hmm. and the ones in Europe were imports from Italy. And it was clear that these two countries had this virus that was, you know, very effective at causing infections. And back then, if you recall, Spain didn't have any. Spain had two cases. You know, one was on the Canary Islands, and
you're
one
right.
was on,
and then it just totally
on Mallorca.
It went
and, yeah,
air.
Well, Spain's got 33,000 cases now, and they've got 2,200 deaths. They had zero a month ago. It's almost exactly a month now. It was February 21st. They had two cases that were imported. And now, 1 month later, they've got 2,000 dead, and they've got 33,000 cases. And we just got in front of them. They were in front of us, but the U.S. pulled in front.
Let me do this. I've got to do this. This is very important. You mentioned the bidding for these medical supplies, masks, most specifically,
right.
PPEs,
right.
ventilators, some. The U.S. federal government, Donald J. Trump's administration presiding, has outbid a number of the U.S. states on critical, crucial coronavirus supplies after Trump told the governors of all the states basically to go to hell and get your own medical equipment.
Right.
The federal government is outbidding the states on orders of critical medical equipment necessary to aid patients and protect medical professionals from the coronavirus. The federal government is outbidding the U.S. states. States are losing out on crucial equipment orders, even though President Donald Trump directed them to get their own supplies rather than relying on help from his federal government.
And he's driving up the price. They used to be $0.80 a piece, and now they're like $4 or $5 or $6 or $7. So they cost 10 times as much.
This is unbelievable.
And the problem is, it's not just the U.S., although the U.S. is going up faster than anybody in the world. So, I mean, nobody else is adding 10,000 cases in a day. The closest others have is 5,000 or 4,000. Italy's just under 5,000. Spain's 4,000. Germany's 4,000. France is almost 4,000. U.S. is 10,000. And 10,000 and counting. That's today. Tomorrow it'll be over 10,000 because these states, New Jersey added 1,000 on its own today. Just today, they added 1,000 cases. They're up to 3,000. So they went from 2,000 to 3,000 today. I mean, a couple days ago, New Jersey was at 500. They're at 3,000 now. And they're going to be, as long as they've got the kits to test, they've got plenty of people to test, and they're just now.
You saw the drive-in testing places close down because they were out of equipment in 30 minutes.
Right. There's this demand, and they're saying don't go unless you got symptoms, and now they're cutting it down because. Well, they actually have these issues, so they want to. Test the patients to find out who really has the virus, and then they want to monitor them, and then, they would like to test them when they've gotten rid of the virus so they can discharge them and free up the beds. And so they want them to be priority number one. And then who do you think is priority number two? The healthcare workers. They've got all of these healthcare workers that have all of these potential exposures, and also they don't want, if they're positive, they don't want them to stay on the job. So they've got the healthcare workers, and they have to figure out whether they've been infected or not.
I got news for some of you listening. The healthcare workers, a lot of them are going to stay on the job and are on the job right now, even though they're sick. Long as they can function.
And others are going to end up quitting because they're running out of equipment.
They have no bandanas. They told them to wear bandanas for Christ's sake. Come on.
Raincoats. They put on
raincoats. That too. Raincoats. Unbelievable. Yeah. Federal Express drivers.
And goggles. Oh. They're going to sporting goods stores to buy goggles. And they're putting that over there because they don't have shields to put it.
We're going to lose a huge percent of our healthcare professionals. We're going to end up flying in plane loads of Filipino nurses, Filipino techs. You watch before this is over, or some country, to try to staff the hospitals. We won't have enough. It's going to get bad.
Yeah, there'll be competition because it's going to get bad in Europe, too. And a lot of this has to do with the virus. I think the virus is changing. And today, NYU released sequences of three of the patients in New York. That's been a long time coming. There were just a couple that had been released prior to this, from New York anyway, to try to figure out what's causing the problem. And one of the ones from New York, from New Rochelle, that was this ORF8 that I've been talking about, mutation.
It's not the one
in Seattle. That one's in Seattle, and that one's in the Grand Princess, the first voyage. That's what was on that ship. But the one in New York is from Europe. It matches sequences in Spain. So it's evolved a little bit differently, and it came from Europe. It didn't come from China. I mean, it went from China to Europe, but it picked up mutations in Europe that it now has in New York. And so New York has an ORF8 European version. But what was released today was the sequence that's circulating in Italy. So Italy is in New York. And that's what's causing all the problems in New York, almost certainly, because they released three sequences. The sequences were all that same lineage, and they were close enough that they were definitely that lineage, but they were far enough apart, indicating that there were more than one introduction. So there were a couple introductions out of, they only released three sequences. So out of the three sequences, there were at least two introductions. They were both the version that's circulating in Italy, and it's circulating all over the place, because if you recall, there were all of these countries that were getting the virus back in, a month ago. And I had said that we're not testing for Italy, because all these other countries have the virus from Italy. So, and they were places that didn't have any previously. So Algeria had it from Italy, Nigeria had it from Italy, Brazil had it from Italy, Mexico had it from Italy, Canada had it from Italy, and all over Europe had it from Italy. Even Iceland had it from Italy. And the U.S. didn't have any from Italy. And you know why? Because they didn't test anybody from Italy. Because they were just testing China. You had to be from China to get tested. If you were from Italy, you're good. Not a problem. No, you got a cold. You got the flu. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter if you worry about it or not. We're not going to test you. Because you don't
are we,
need
are
our
we going to have?
You,
are we going to? Are we going
to
see a cut?
From China.
All right. Are we going to see a cut down in testing here to try to keep the numbers down? Do you think?
Oh yeah, yeah. They're going to. They just want to test the ones that are already in the hospital, as well as
the
healthcare workers.
That's right.
Right, right. They're going to limit it so that they're not going to find out exactly how bad it is. And they're not going to be able to really do any types of control. Because one of the methods they have before it gets out of control, and it's probably already too far out of control, but they do tracking of contacts. So they kind of keep it from going further downstream once they identify somebody. Once they identify somebody, they find out who their contacts are. They test the contacts to see if they're already infected. Uh-huh. If they are, they get them quarantined so that they're not continuing to spread it. But that's the reason the community cases are so devastating, because they have no idea who infected them. So they can kind of go downstream from there, but most of these were infected by somebody else in the U.S., and they don't know who that is, so that there's no tracking of who those contacts are, because they don't know who the source is. And then it just kind of expands, because they don't know who they are. They can't quarantine them, and they can do what they got to do for another week, and that is to say, if you're not doing essential positions or jobs, that you should stay home. And if you're able to telecommute or work from home, then you should do that. So you can go ahead and work, as long as you aren't.
I'm really glad that we're going back to work in just a week. This is very encouraging to me. Thank you telling me that.
Yeah.
They tried that in China, and they put a couple hundred employees back in a business, and within one day they had four or five infected, and they shut it right back down again.
Yeah, well, the virus is quite infectious, and
And the RO is close to 10, right?
It's a challenge. It's a challenge. I mean, all of this, you know, flattening the curve isn't eliminating the curve. It's not saying, well, if you do this, the virus is going to be stopped dead in its tracks. And what's going to happen is that you're just going to spread it out so you don't overwhelm the hospitals. And, you know, to knock it out, you kind of have to do what they did in China or some of the other Asian countries. But I'm not sure even that will work that well, because I think that this latest and greatest version, the one that's coming out of Italy and Iran, is even more infectious.
RO of 10. R naught of 10.
Right. So it's spreading relatively easily. And, you know, there are these stories about people that are asymptomatic and spreading it.
50%, they say, may be asymptomatic and spreaders.
And younger people are able to spread it, and children are able to spread it. And right now, you know, a lot of the schools are closed, so that's kind of under control because of that. But it's still, the spring break is a good example. They're not in school, and they're on spring break, and they all go down to Fort Lauderdale or somewhere, and they're all on the beach together. And then they infect each other, and then they go back home.
One car full of revelers, the whole car was infected by the time they got home,
right.
The carload of them.
Right. And that's why there's predictions to say 30, 50% of the entire population is going to get infected by the virus. And even if, you know, 85% of them have a relatively mild case and they don't have to go into the hospital. If you've got 10 or 15% of 50% of the population, so that, you know, you're talking 5 to 10% of the entire population has to go in the hospital. That's a lot of people. The hospitals aren't set up for that. And then a reasonably high percentage of those that do go in the hospital have to go to ICU. So they don't really have that many ICU beds. And then they need ventilators or they need ECMO machines. And I mean, I saw an article today that said in Italy that they don't treat anybody over 60.
An Israeli volunteer doctor in Italy said, "We no longer treat anyone over the age of 60. That's what he said.
Right. So you're on your own, essentially. I mean, you're probably better off not going to the hospital if you're over 60.
I wouldn't go anywhere near it. I'd try to tell them to.
To get infected even more.
This is... Wow. Go ahead.
So I was just going to say it's going from bad to worse, and you know, next week it'll just go up one notch higher. Then it'll, I mean, the U.S. will be, you know, the pariah of the world. They will A, have more cases. B, they'll be spread. They'll then have more new cases every day, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, everybody's, you know, going to try to stay as far away as possible from the U.S., but we can go back to work and the economy will be fine and everybody will be, you know, happy. But it's going to be, you know, it'll end up being worse than 1918 because it's going to have a high case fatality rate and there's all types of complications. And
long-term complications.
Right.
Pulmonary damage. Neurological damage.
We'll survive, right. And we'll get discharged, and then they'll have all kind of medical problems forever, you know, as long as they're alive. And then that'll just be this big burden where you're going to have all these people that have permanent lung damage or neurological ethical issues are all out of those types of long-term issues. And then you'll have a lot to die. And it's not just going to be the old people. I mean, they keep on doing that. I mean, when they have these White House press conferences, they're still spinning the data. And an example is Italy. They're saying, well, they went and they're looking at Italy to kind of see what the what to expect, and they see that most of the deaths are older. And you think, well, yeah, maybe that's the way it works, that the younger people are in good shape and it's really the older population that dies. But uh-huh. It's the older population that doesn't get treated. And that's why
anybody over 60, go
dying.
Home. Goodbye.
Right.
You
right.
can't come in.
Right.
Sorry.
So they're not getting treated, and those under 60 are getting the ICU beds and the ventilators. So it's kind of like it's stacked so the older people aren't going to do well, and then they're using the fact that the old people aren't going to do well as an indicator that you know, the younger people really don't have that much to worry about, because you have to be older with an underlying condition to not do well. But the underlying conditions in the United States are fairly common. I mean, obesity is a condition, and diabetes is a condition.
All right, 40% of America is obese, so there you go.
Right. So, you know, so when they say they've got underlying conditions, it's like, well, I'm relatively healthy, and then you go and look at the conditions that most of the people have, and you realize that you've got one or two or three of them, and you're not as healthy as you think, and you might have them under control with medications, but they don't say out of control underlying conditions. They just say underlying conditions. So if you've got that condition and you're pretty well controlled with medication, they still count that as an underlying condition. And so, you know, a high percentage of the population has underlying conditions.
All right. Let me do this again. I really think this is important. Not that I'm telling our listeners anything they don't already know, but this is from Vanity Fair. One of the most mind-boggling aspects of the coronavirus crisis in America is the fact that one of the wealthiest countries in the world doesn't have the basic medical supplies necessary to deal with the situation. In addition to a lack of beds, which will be gone by the end of this week, hospitals across the nation have nowhere near the number of ventilators and masks doctors require, never mind nurses, to do both their jobs and to protect themselves. While governors have begged Donald Trump to help them obtain such equipment, he's literally told them, "You're on your own," seemingly forgetting the fact that he's the one with the power here. For instance, Andrew Cuomo can't invoke the Defense Production Act, which allows the federal government to take some control of the private sector to ensure production of materials relevant to national defense. But Trump can, and yet he's chosen not to. Why? Because corporate CEOs don't like the idea, and the president is more concerned with keeping big business happy than keeping Americans alive. Yes, according to the New York Times, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, heads of major corporations have lobbied the administration against using the act, arguing that it could impose red tape on companies at a time when they need the government out of their hair. This is, you talk about impeachment, okay? This is a real deal. The guy should be the hell out of there.
Yeah,
he's told America to buzz off and die.
In name only. I mean, he's got the power to order this. He's got the power to, and these factories are empty. I mean, the airlines are going to stop flying in a couple of days. You know,
that's right.
Literally, they're going to stop flying because they nobody's flying. They can't make any money. They have to pay for jet fuel, and they got to pay.
Well, they're
for
first in line for bailouts. They're all asking for bailouts.
Right,
what's a bailout?
Right,
that's a free. That's not a loan. That's a gift. A bailout.
Right. So and the automakers are shutting down production, and so you've
hotels.
Got these plants, and you've got these workers. And you've got this product that is in need.
Life or death.
And
he will not do it.
And it's like, you know, he thinks if he sends 100,000 that they're good, and 100,000 lasts a week, you know, and probably doesn't even do that because they're only sending it to the places that have the largest number of cases today. And similar cases will be present at other locations next week because you know New York's doing 10,000 or 5,000 cases in a day. New Jersey's doing 1,000 cases in a day, and there's a lot of states that are doing 500 cases in a day, and they'll be doing 1,000 or 2,000 a week from now because these things are doubling every couple of days. So it's in this exponential phase. And it's all over the country. And even some of the states that have low numbers, they're still going up. And part of their low numbers is because they haven't been testing.
Haven't tested.
They don't really have the lab set up to basically collect a lot of samples and get them tested. And they're starting to use some of the commercial labs. And they're being told, well, we don't even want you to use those. We only want to use those for the patients that are the individuals that are already in the hospital or the healthcare workers. So we're not really that interested in finding new patients. And so they're going to have the virus doesn't care whether you test or not. I mean, the virus is going to go ahead and spread. And it doesn't matter whether you know if they're spreading or not. And in fact, if you don't know they're spread, well, then you're not going to do any tracking. And you're not going to be putting anybody into quarantine because you don't know if they're infected. They don't know if they're infected. And they want to know whether they're infected. And there's no way to get the test done because they're either not sick enough or they run out of kits or they're not a priority. So even if they've got the kits, and even if they're doing testing, they're going to be testing those that have already been identified and the healthcare workers. And it might be the contacts of those who have already been identified, but they're not going to be identifying that many new cases because they have limits on who they'll test. And they have limits on how many kits they have. And even though these academic centers are starting up, they're just getting started. You know, they've got to get the kit. They've got to get all the reagents. They've got to, you know, design it. Mm-hmm. They've got to test it. And then they have to, you know, make sure everything's working before they increase it and roll it out. And so they start small. And all these things take a week and another for one thing and a week for another thing. And pretty soon, you know, it takes 3 weeks to get going. And if you're doubling every 2 days, 3 weeks is a really long time. I mean, a month ago, there was very little identified cases in Europe and very few in the Middle East, and the numbers from Italy and the United States was officially zero. It was a zero long after it was all over the place.
Please, so, all of you, remember what I said earlier, that the federal government and Donald J. Trump have been outbidding the states for these crucial masks, PPEs, and ventilators, outbidding them and driving the prices up after telling the state governors to go to hell. That's what he did. He chose American big business over the lives of the rank and file Americans, and especially our professional health workers. And any of you who still support Trump after this, good luck to you. That's all I can say. Final comment, Henry.
Well, the final comment is it's heading downhill, and it's only going to get worse. And this upcoming week is going to be memorable. If you follow any of these numbers, you're going to see it exploding all over the country. And just in time for Trump to say, we're done. We did it. We tried. Didn't go down, so we're just going to go back to work. And, don't worry, be happy.
Don't expect to see Anthony Fauci anymore either. And if you missed it, he is reportedly now saying that he has to tell Trump something four times before it begins to stick. And apparently Donald didn't like that. So Fauci is
And then he has to tell him four more times the next day because it only sticks for 24 hours. And he's off on another spree. And just one aside, his magical cure that he's touting, people are actually buying that.
Chloroquine, yeah.
Right. It's used to clean aquariums, and people are taking that.
Oh, my.
And they're dying. There's one dead and his wife.
Well, negligent homicide is what the MSNBC top legal correspondent said.
And they're just following the instructions. It prevented. They weren't even sick. They were taking that to avoid getting the virus. And one's got dead, it. The other is in critical condition in the hospital. And I think they've got cases in Africa the same thing. They read about it, they go out and they get it, and they're dropping dead too.
All right. Thank you, Henry. Better run.
Okay. See you tomorrow. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night. All right. And we'll be back in 21 hours. Be safe. Take care.